John chapter 14 and verse 2, I draw your attention to these words of our Lord Jesus Christ. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. I remind you of the circumstances in which the Lord Jesus Christ spoke these words. It is the last night with the disciples. The traitor Judas has just left, and only a few precious hours are left with the disciples. The way he puts it so often in these chapters is, I go. Verse 2, I go to prepare a place for you. Verse 3, if I go and prepare a place for you. And so on down this chapter and into the next chapters, the Lord is frequently saying, I go. Things then are never going to be the same again after the Savior goes. The Lord is going away. The physical presence of Christ, such as they have enjoyed for the past 3 years, is going to cease. That's all ending. But don't be troubled, he says. Let not your heart be troubled. Because the ending, the separation, is not final. It is not absolute, it is not complete. I will send you my Spirit, he says. I will not leave you orphaned, he says. And then, as well as that, he says, I will come again to you and receive you to myself at death and at the second advent. You'll be with me again. And so he comforts them with these words. And where is the Lord going to? Well, he tells us, doesn't he? He tells us he's going to the Father. 14 verse 28. If you love me, ye would rejoice because I said, I go unto the Father. And then in chapter 16 verse 5, I go my way to him that sent me. So he's going to the Father. He's going back up to God. And where is the Father? Where is the Father? Well, he tells us in verse 2, in my Father's house, I go there. I go there to prepare a place. In my Father's house, that's where I'm going to. So he's going to the Father. He's going to the Father in the Father's house. That's the Savior's description of heaven. Heaven is the Father's house. That is a very warm and comfortable description of heaven. It's meant to be. Whenever the Lord is speaking here about the Father's house, he's speaking about it in terms of the home. He's not talking about bricks and mortar and buildings and things like that. No, he's thinking of it as the home. My Father's home. He's speaking about it with delight. He's not speaking coldly or indifferently. He's speaking about it with affection. He's excited even at the prospect. He's looking forward to it because he loves that place. And he has often lifted up his eyes onto heaven, and he's been addressing his Father very many times. My Father, that's home, you see, to him. We all love our earthly home, I trust. Home is a sweet place, is it not? It's the place of comfort. It's the place of delight. It's the place that contains all our blessed and sweet memories. It's the place where we find rest. It's the place of ease. It's the place of the most endearing relationships. The sweetest fellowship and the warmest love of all is in our home. There's no place like home, is how we put it. My Father's home. That's how Jesus thinks about it. My Father's home. That's what heaven is to Jesus. It's the Father's home. You know how it was on his pilgrimage. He had not a home. The Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. But now he's going home to glory soon. Back to the Father's house. Back to the Father's bosom. Heaven is the house of God. It is the home of God's Son, and it is the Father and the Son's royal estate. It is the divine family's abiding place, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It is a delightful place. And why did Jesus leave it? If it is so delightful, we know why. He left for us. He left for us to save sinners, to bring them into the family and fold of God through His adopting grace. He saved us so that He might have many brethren, and so that He might have said to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, and my God and your God. He came to bring us into the family of God, and He's gone to prepare a place for that family. And He's coming back again to receive that family and to bring that family into the Father's house, so that the Father's house is complete and it has all the family in. He came because the home is the home of all His family. And He came to see of them, His adopted children. And so it is the home of the Father, the home of the elder brother, His Son. It is the home of all of Christ's brethren who, like Him, love the Father and do the Father's will. So the picture of heaven as a house is not just as a cold place. It is a warm spiritual home that Jesus loves and so much misses. And so the picture was precious to Christ. And He has given it to us to meditate upon and to think about, so that our hearts should not be troubled as they might. We have much of this Father's house in our hymns. We're going home to glory soon, we sing, to see the city bright. It's a wonderful place. O Beulah land, sweet Beulah land, as on the highest mount I stand, I look away across the sea where mansions are prepared for me, and view the shining glory shore, my heaven, my home forevermore. James Montgomery put it so well, my Father's house on high, home of my soul, how near. And of course, this language of the Father's house comes from the Old Testament, particularly Psalm 23, the Shepherd's Psalm. It is a psalm of pilgrimage. It is a psalm of green pastures and still waters. It is a psalm of making a journey through this land, being led and guided by the Shepherd. And where is He bringing us? With His goodness and mercy pursuing us all the way and bringing us through the valley of the shadow of death, His rod and staff comforting us. Where is He bringing us? I will dwell forevermore in the house of the Lord. This very place, the Father's house. Now about the makeup of this home, not much is said in the Scriptures. And certainly not much in this passage in John chapter 14. We're told whose house it is, the Father's. We are told Christ is going there. We're told He's preparing a place for His people there. We are told He is going to bring His people there. And we're told they're going to be with Him forever. But we are told something interesting in verse 2. We are told that the house has many mansions. In my Father's house are many mansions. That's a little bit of information about heaven. The mansions are abiding places. Abiding places for the saved, abiding places for all the saved. We might translate it rooms. In my Father's house are many rooms. And because the translators thought that these rooms must be wonderful and beyond description, they have brought in the word mansion to describe something of its glory, of the glory of every room. So heaven is like a great house, a royal palace, a royal home with plenty of rooms and plenty of abiding places, a grand palace. And that palace has grand rooms. Now, the way this is normally considered is that there are rooms as many as there are saints. A room for every saint, Peter has a room, and John has a room, and so on and so forth, and all the saints each have a room, and that's the way this is normally looked at. But I don't think that is the sense at all. You see, that is Western individualism read into the text. The Bible doesn't know anything about individualism. It only knows about personalities and persons. And you only know a person in relation to other persons. God is not an individual. God is persons. Three persons. And you know each person in relation to the other persons. And we're not to look at this as that individual has his own room. That's not what heaven is. No! That's not what the church is, made up of little individuals. No, we relate to one another. We fellowship with one another. We are persons in the church of Jesus Christ, not individuals. And the sense is not a place in one room and another room for someone else. The sense is not that. The sense is not a place in every room. The sense is a right of access to all the rooms. In my Father's house are many mansions. It's a wonderfully interesting place. And there are all of these rooms. And I'm going to prepare a place for you, so that in every one of these rooms will be a place for you. That's what it means. It's a wonderful place with many mansions, and you are going to enjoy them. And I prepare a place for you so that you can enjoy those mansions. And so the saint is going to see many rooms and have a place in many rooms. I do not say all the rooms, but I do say many rooms. It may be in accordance with the reward and the glory of heaven which each saint will enjoy. And there may be the case that some may enjoy more rooms than others. But there are very many. Whatever this means. Every room is a family room. Every room, very many of the rooms, all the people have access to them, you see. In your house, guests get brought into one room. Maybe the living room or the sitting room. They get brought into one room and they can spend time in the sitting room. But you see, the house is not theirs. And they don't have a place in the house. And so they can't go roaming about your bedrooms and roaming about into your study and roaming about all over the place as if they own the house. It's not their house. And they don't have a place in the house. They're just guests. But Jesus is giving us a place in his Father's house, and there are many mansions, and we'll have access to very many of them. That's what it means. What kind of rooms then will the saint have a place in? Every saint. Now, earth is just the footstool of this house. It's a kind of a field at the end of the lane to glory. That's all earth is. It's just a field at the end of heaven's lane. And it's a beautiful and glorious place, this earth. But it's just a field at the end of the lane. One day we shall have to make our walk up the lane and we'll go into the house. It's far more glorious than earth. Christ is ascending up. He's leaving the field. He's going up into the lane and he's going into the Father's house, and he's excited about it. He ascends to the house. He goes through the everlasting doors and all the rooms that meet him, and he's preparing us a place in them. That's what he means here. We also will make our ascent, for Jesus says, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And at death, we will go up the lane, heaven's lane. We'll be carried by the angels from the field. We'll make the journey and the transit, and we'll be brought into the same everlasting doors through which Jesus entered, and we'll be brought into the house to enjoy the rooms. What kind of rooms will there be in heaven? Well, let's use our sanctified imagination.
on the basis of the Word of God.
The first room that must meet us will undoubtedly be the reception room of heaven. The reception room. Every saint has a place in that, because when they come through the door, everyone has to go through the door into the first place. Whatever that place is, that's the reception room. Every saint has a place in it. And a place is being prepared in the reception room for the children and the people of God. The reception room must undoubtedly come first. We must think biblically and soberly about this, but there must be a reception room. And what will shine about the reception room? What will stand out in that grand corridor of entrance into heaven? What will stand out? Don't you know? It will be Jesus. Jesus is the glory of the reception room. For he stands to receive us. The Lord Jesus Christ will be at the door, for he is the door, and he has the keys of death and of Hades. And so when we're admitted into the reception room, we are sure that he who has the keys upon his girdle is there to receive us. And so Jesus is the glory of the reception room, and he receives us. Now we see through a glass darkly. But the door of death will open, and the light of heaven will shine through, and the glass darkly will give way to glory and to sight, and no more by faith, but by sight. Then shall we see him in the reception room, face to face. Face to face with Christ my Saviour. Face to face, what will it be? When in glory I behold him, Jesus Christ, who died for me. Did not Stephen get a glimpse of this reception room as he was being stoned to death? I see Jesus, he said, standing, he's standing to receive me. I see him. And Stephen saw the glory of the reception room. I see him. Standing to welcome me. Standing smiling. Standing beckoning. Standing with the hand reached out to receive the faithful servant and martyr for himself. Come in, well done, good and faithful servant. Come in. Enter thou, he shall say to the faithful martyr, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. In garments glorious, he will come to open wide the door, and I shall enter my heavenly home to dwell forevermore. Now it is forever with the Lord. Now it is. And it all commences in the reception room. Now it is that faith is turned into sight. Now it is that all the doubts forever disappear and have flown away. Now it is that the struggle we know is over. The fight is ended. The course is completed. The warfare has ceased. Now we know it in the reception room. This is where assurance in the reception room gives place to an unspeakable reality beyond the possibility of doubts anymore. In the reception room. And every saint has his place in the reception room with Christ, which is far better. The elder brother stands waiting. Having guided us with his counsel on earth, he now, in the afterlife, receives us into everlasting glory. It's a very vast room. We know he does not stand alone, for there are others as well in the reception room. There are others beckoning us to come as well as our Lord. They know that their Lord has advanced to admit the dying saint. And so others are waiting as well, and others are waiting with affection and love and delight. It is our loved ones who have gone before. They are not bereft of their memories of us, and nor are they robbed of their love and affection for us. They stand waiting as well, delighted to receive us into heaven's reception room. Do you not see them with the eye of faith? They line the hall. They stand on the stairs, watching as the new glorified soul comes in. There they line the banister on the next floor, watching, beckoning with great delight and joy. We recognize them. The souls of those saints made perfect who have gone before, the cloud of witnesses that have always been compassing us about. Now we see them in the reception room. They're smiling approval as their dear friend and loved ones make their entrance. I'll soon be at home over there. For the end of my journey, I see many dear to my heart over there are watching and waiting for me. And there are others too in the reception room. Oh, the delightful angels. Those angels whom we have never seen, but who have seen us, who have ministered to us, who have rescued us, who have brought us delightful thoughts, who have been a wall of fire around about us all our days. Those and angels who have an interest in us, because you have your angels, you know. You do. They behold their Father's face, and they go on errands at your Father's command on your behalf. And some of them will bring you to glory. Your angels will be waiting too. You'll see them then. Those dear creatures who have ministered to us in obedience to God. Mysteriously ministered to us. Now also with joy and smiling approval, welcoming the redeemed and glorified saint, heaven's reception room. Every saint has a place in it. And at death we enter it and enjoy it. But having been brought into the reception room, where shall the saint then be ushered? Where shall the Saviour lead us as he takes his hand, our hand, and begins to bring us round these many mansions in which we have a place? Where shall we go next? I hardly know. Room after room in glory. Many mansions, as our Lord puts it. There is no room, but he takes us into it himself. He takes us into it himself, and he is himself the centre of every room into which he brings us. Now we know the meaning of that word. We follow the Lamb, whithersoever he leadeth us, into the many rooms of this Father's house. We follow him, whithersoever he leadeth us. Now no cloud dims his face. Now no trial obscures his presence. Now we know the wonderful meaning of his name. Emmanuel, the God with us, the God holding our hand, the God leading us around the mansions of glory. Now we know him. Very early we must soon be brought into the throne room. That is a mansion in itself. There is this heart of heaven. There is this center of glory. There is this hive of activity in the very midst of heaven. It is the throne room of the King of Glory himself. We have a place in it. I go to prepare a place for you. A place in the throne room. Thrones for you. Crowns for you. Yes. In heaven's throne room, the chief room, the best room, It is where the Father's throne is, guarded by the seraphim and the cherubim. It is glorious. And God on the throne is glorious, dwelling in light which cannot be approached onto. And yet, with Jesus holding our hand, we dare approach it, and we do approach it. What a room it is. Into it the blessed Saviour admits us, and he shall present us faultless before the Father's face in the throne room, every saint, and ultimately the whole bride. It is a glorious, majestic throne. And he that sits upon it, Jesus tells us himself, my Father, your Father, my God, your God. Jesus tells us that himself. And now we know and are sure. The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there the Trinity shall fill us with love and awe, and we shall be wrapped in the divine love. This glorious room, this glorious throne, and always the chorus is, holy, holy, holy. Night and day the echoes of the seraphim from wall to wall of this room, reminding us that this God, this triune God, is holy. And now we see beauty, because holiness is beauty. And there is no other beauty in the universe but the beauty of holiness. And nothing is beautiful that has not holiness. And now we're in the most beautiful room of all, in the most beautiful place of all. In the place of holiness. And before us our Father, and beside us our Saviour, and in us the glorious Holy Spirit. And we shall worship and adore in the throne room. And we shall see then why the seraphim burn so brightly, because they serve such a God. And they are so close to such a God. And they are so zealous for such a God. And we will learn how it is that they can glow so brightly, because we shall begin to glow as brightly ourselves. And it shall be so wonderful. And we shall serve him night and day. Holy Father, Holy Son of God, Holy Spirit of the Father and of the Son, the family throne room, the three persons, admitted into the throne room, all the persons of the church redeemed. And we shall receive our crown and cast it at his feet. And we shall see other thrones as well. For in this throne room all the family are kings and priests unto God. And we reign with Christ in this room. And then we discover the real meaning of that great psalm. Having lifted us up from the dust and raised us from the dunghill, he has set us with princes, royal princes, even the princes of his people in this throne room. We shall see it again, no doubt, in future messages. But we must fly on. We must go to some other rooms of these many rooms in glory. Wonderful rooms, rooms revealed in Scripture. There's another room, a room of feasting, the banqueting house. He brings us into his banqueting house. And his banner over us is love. This is a wonderful room. This is a room of fellowship, sweet fellowship, the bride with Jesus, fellowshipping, sitting around his table. We have sometimes asked where he feedeth. Show us where you feed. Then shall we know. Then shall we know. And we shall sit down to feed with him. And we shall see that banner flying in the slight breeze of the Holy Spirit, because he is the only breeze of glory. In the breeze of the Holy Spirit, that banner flies, flies,
Only one word ever written on it. Only one word.
Love. Endless love. Warm love. Eternal love. Blessed and precious love. Enwrapping us, enfolding us, enfilling us. And we learn to love as He loved. The love in this room. Luke 22 is fulfilled. Ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit enthroned judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Sitting down, as it is put, with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, those who have enjoyed with us the salvation, the one church. And of course, we cannot think of the throne room and the feasting room of the marriage supper of the Lamb without thinking of another room. I think of the clothing room, the adorning room, the dress room, because Christ has promised that we shall be adorned in white. He shall clothe us in white. He that overcometh shall be clothed in white, and I will confess his name before my Father. He will adorn us. He will bring us in before the Father, adorned. Having been adorned in the adorning room, he will bring us in and confess us before his Father. And so we read that every saint has his place in this room, for all are adorned, and none wear strange garments at all. The glorious white linen of Christ's righteousness, which we have received by faith and has been imputed to us by faith, but now gloriously adorning us in heaven itself. Having been through the dress room, we can go to any other room in the place, accepted in the beloved, adorned in the robe of righteousness. We have the wedding garment on. Oh, think of the home over there, by the side of the river of light, where the saints, all immortal and fair, are robed in their garments of white. Oh, think of the home over there. But we must fly. There are two more rooms that I cannot pass by, but I can only throw you out some thoughts and suggestions concerning them. Wonderfully delightful rooms. And every saint has a place prepared in both these rooms, no doubt. It is true that already we have had foretastes of glory in these rooms. Ah, but what will it be to be there? And in these rooms themselves. What poor and feeble efforts on earth we have made in these rooms. But now in glory perfected, the glorified saints shall make immense strides in both of them. The first one that I think of with you is the study. Yes, any grand house has a study. The Father's house has a mansion that is a study. It is grand. It has very many windows. Light from all directions shines into them. The very center of that study is Christ, who is the truth itself. There he is in the midst of the study. How vast the study is, how bright, how illuminating. Every window a window into the mysteries of the Godhead. Every window a window into the mysteries of the creation. Every window into a window into the mysteries of redemption. Our Bible knowledge we shall carry with us into it. And no doubt our strides in this room will be in proportion to our labours in earth in the study of God's Word. It shall be rewarded then, the diligence in the Bible. There shall be a sweet glory, a crown of glory for the diligent Bible student in this room. Oh, what a study. Then we shall study as never before. And the minister will not be sorry at having to leave his earthly study, nor any saint regretful that he will have to leave his Bible. No! Now he's entered in to the very arena of truth. Now he's at the very source of knowledge. Now he's at the very fountain of life. The study how we shall learn of the mysteries of God.
We shall know them,
even as we are known, because we have been admitted to the study. And there we shall find the meaning of that word of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ye know not now, but ye shall know hereafter. There's the study, you see. Oh, we'll study the decrees. We'll see the other side of the tapestry then. Not the knots at the back. Confusion. Distortion. It doesn't look orderly at all. But now we're in the other side. And we shall see the tapestry of our life from that study.
What a wonderful place it is. But the most important object of study of all is Jesus.
In the mystery of his incarnation, Emmanuel. Then we shall discover how his divine nature and his human nature interact. How he can be one person with two natures. The mystery of godliness. We shall study it in the study with Christ himself.
And the angels shall be students with us as we fellowship with them and their fellowship with us. And we tell them of our experiences and how it was like to be a sinner and what it felt like to be a sinner. And they shall stand in awe and mystery at the marvelous unfolding grace of God. And they shall learn grace through us. And we shall learn much through them in the study mansion. But we must leave it. As delightful as it might be to linger on there, we must leave it. There is another room that I would fly to with the eye of faith. We must leave our fellow students in their study. We must fly to the last room. And already I hear it. Do you not hear it?
You hear it before you see it, this room. There is a noise that comes from it. There is music. There is singing. There is gladness. There is joy. There is a choir. It's the noisiest room of all in the mansion. But it's not a racket, for it is perfect harmony, and the sweetest harmony, in fact, in the universe of the souls of men made perfect, who are now singing in perfect harmony unto him that loved us. The music room of glory. Every saint has a place in that mansion.
The room of praise. We peep into it by faith. Do you not see the harps? Do you not see the harps? Do you not hear the harps? Every saint has a place for you. Many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. This is one of the places. This room, I heard from a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters and the voice of great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne. And no man could learn that song. But the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. Only they could be brought into this music room. The redeemed. The complete redeemed church of Jesus Christ. The redeemed only could learn it. They have a place in this room. They're brought into it. They learn it. They learn the music. They learn the harp. They are these which were not defiled with women. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. In their mouth was found no guile. Oh, we must leave that chapter. Perhaps we will touch on it on another occasion. But in the music room, you see, the redeemed have a place in it. Only the redeemed. The new song they have already begun to learn below. Singing about the blood. Singing about the Lamb. None of the saints will miss this room, that's for sure. There'll be singing, there'll be shouting when we all get home. We know the hymns too, don't we? there in the home of my Saviour, there with the blood-washed throng, over the highlands of glory, rolleth the great new song. Unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. And that's the song continually going out of this room. In that room, we become perfectionists in singing. We have to wait till then. But we can have a song in our heart now, because it's begun below. And if it's not begun below, it doesn't continue above. Has the song begun below in your heart? Has the Holy Spirit worked in your heart? Can you say, he hath put a new song in my heart? Can you say it? Are you redeemed? Can you sing of the blood and of the Redeemer? The music room. Let us pray.